Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Starseed Radio Academy, empowering Starseed to better serve the planet.
Welcome to Starseed Radio Academy. It's Tuesday, November 16th, 2010, and I'm your host, Arielle Taylor, with my co-host, Lavendar. This evening, as Pleiadian lineup is just now starting, this will be our main topic. Even if you've heard Lavendar's previous talks about Pleiadian lineup, she'll be giving us more in-depth details and a current update on this event. We'll start with this week's Belvelations as our friend Belva Bloomer shares more of her vast knowledge on health concerns, and then Lavendar will present her Pleiadian information. Near the end of the show, we'll introduce a special surprise guest, our dear sister Anastasia. As a psychic with extraordinary abilities, she'll be doing a few free soul readings for our listeners, so stay with us if you'd like to experience her intuitive talents for yourself. Our call-in number is 917-889-8292, and I'll repeat that in just a minute. We've also asked several of our Starseed friends from around the country to call in and share some of their thoughts and lives with us, and I know you'll enjoy meeting more of your star family. Afterwards, we also welcome your comments or questions on tonight's topic, and please be mindful of others who will also be waiting with questions. We'd like to thank Sierra for co-hosting in the chat room today for those who can't call in with questions. For those who can, the call-in number again is 917-889-8292, and then press 1 if you have something to say, otherwise we'll think you're just listening. You can also listen on your computer at blogtalkradio.com/Starseed Radio Academy. Before I introduce Lavendar, I'd like to mention that if you register for free here at Blog Talk Radio and click on the word follow at the top of our page, you'll get an email notice when our next show is coming. All of our past shows are available on demand at blogtalkradio.com/Starseed Radio Academy. Once you're on our page, notice at the bottom where it says Previous Episodes. You have to click there if you want to access the older shows. If you're new to our show, you've missed a lot of chapters, so we highly recommend listening to all of them since they're interconnected with critical information for Starseed that you won't find elsewhere. Also, Starseed Radio Academy is now available on iTunes. You can download shows to go, and it's all free. Then get better than that. It's a great way to catch up on chapters you might have missed when you're away from home, but please don't listen to our podcast while you're driving. If you haven't visited our main site yet, which is starseedhotline.com, we have a lot of vital information for Starseed in our Vault of Knowledge. The entire site is coded for Starseed activation. Try hovering your mouse over some images here and there for special messages. On our headline news page, we have an archive of past teleconferences you can hear, and we also have a support forum for Starseed at starseedhotline.ning.com. That's starseedhotline.ning.com. We'll be talking with Belva, Anastasia, and Lavendar in just a moment, but first I'd also like to mention that Lavendar has written 2 books for Starseed, which are now available as e-books on her site. The first one, 50 Questions and Answers, is a transmission from the Antares Arcturus Midway Station, where she had the opportunity to ask 50 profound questions and be answered clearly and truthfully by Silavon, an ascended guardian of this galaxy. The second e-book, Quartz Crystals, A Celestial Point of View, is a comprehensive guide for the starseed use of crystals, including solar star dates for the next 10 years, for charging crystals with galactic frequency. These books are a must-read for Starseed to understand the galactic big picture and your part in it. If you want to contact us privately, the toll-free number for our website is 888-881-0881. That's 888-881-0881. And now I would like to introduce Lavendar, my best friend and mentor. Lavendar, we have a lot of show tonight, so I just would like you to say hi to our listeners before we get started.
Okay. Thank you so much, Arielle. And I don't know, are we on an hour and a half or 2 hours tonight?
2 hours.
Okay. I went to the vault today, and I pulled out some information. I just woke up this morning thinking, you know, maybe I should pull out some information that I have written already, and I'll do that later. But first I would like to, you know, introduce our friend Belva, and I think we have recorded something today, so if you would go ahead and play the Belvalation, and then afterwards come back on, and then I'll continue.
Okay, here we go with tonight's Belvalation.
Okay. So today we're with Belva, who's going to bring us a Belvalation. And just to preface my association with Belva, I've known her for over 30 years. We've had a lot of adventures together. She's probably now the only living witness to a lot of things that happened to me in these past 30 years. And we had a gigantic assignment to go to Cairo, Egypt. And I just want to, at this time, Belva, just take just a moment to say how much I appreciate the hoops that you jumped through. When I got to New York City and realized that we didn't have enough crystals to charge, that you and your friend Carol jumped on an airplane and brought, well, first of all, you had divers go down in the Jeffrey mine and get the crystals, and then you had them delivered, and then the two of you, you and Carol, jumped on an airplane and flew to Cairo, Egypt, in a moment's notice. And I don't know of many people that could have moved and could have actually pulled that off like you and Carol did. So I just want to say to you how much I appreciate them. And these Giza crystals, by the way, have now gone all over the world. They have a storyline all of their own, and I'm taking probably some of these documents from people and probably going to make a story out of it. And you know what, Belva? It's because of you and your dedication to the planet, to who you are, and how you immediately, and being Pleiadian bloodline like you are, you know, when the Pleiades sent out a signal, you answered the call, and you did it. So I just, you know, at the beginning of this, and this is Pleiadian lineup right now, and I just feel like that, you know, people ought to know what you did and how you stood in your energy and had the courage and the foresight. When I, you know, it was like when I called, you came, and that was just very important to me. So I wanted to start this Belvalation today with honoring you for being the person who was the guardian of those Giza crystals all the way to Cairo before that the Pleiadians came and charged them. And of course they took them in the king's, well, they took them in the queen's chamber for 2 days and then handed them back to us. And at that time I really didn't have the understanding of what they were, but as the years have gone on, it's like I really understand and know that these were like thumb drives. You know, it's like you have a thumb drive in your computer, and these little Giza crystals, they're thumb drives of information, and they activate on their own, and, you know, it's like they're little genies in a bottle, kind of, and when they're out, they jump around. They like, you know, some of them jump around and just disappear and appear and reappear. And anyway, there's just a whole thing I'd like to say at another time about these Giza crystals. But with that, if there's anything you'd like to say about what I just said, go ahead.
Well, it was a bit strange to be carrying 60 pounds of crystals through customs. I'm sure that a lot of people thought I was crazy. Why would I be carrying these rocks? And they were little tiny, double-ended, six-sided crystals. And my girlfriend, Carol, was just raising pain with me because it was taking so long, everything we did. Of course, they didn't have the security systems that they have now, but they had enough to keep us. We had problems every place we went with, because I hand-carried it. I, of course, I wasn't about to send it through as luggage. And it was hand-carried all the way to Cairo to you. So, I mean, after I had worked so hard to get them, I had a business I was running. I had to leave, and everybody was really upset, and I just left. So it was done. It was wonderful, and I was happy to do it.
Yeah, okay, thank you.
Okay, so today...
today, let's change subjects a minute and go into, you know, you do health counseling, and you've helped so many people over the years. I mean, people are alive today because of you, and I want to also mention that, and that you're going to give us more information. You started us last week about fungus, and is that what you're going to continue to talk about today?
Yes, I've got some questions and some thoughts for people to read to recognize whether their body has a candida problem or not. So the questions start with, did your grandmother, mother, or you personally have penicillin or antibiotics even one time? Remember, it remains in the blood or the lymphatic fluid until it is detoxed completely from your body. Candida is passed from mother to child and between sexual partners. Have you experienced psoriasis, vaginitis, athlete's foot, rashes, or hives? Do you have depression, nervous problems, and fatigue? Have you taken birth control pills? Do you have headaches, pains in joints, eye problems? Do you crave alcohol, pain pills, sugar, and drugs to sleep? Do you have plaque in your mouth, on your teeth, that is removed by the dentist only to return within a month or so? These are questions regarding candida. These are some of the conditions caused by candida. It's a mold that is very contagious, received from a sexual partner or even from a pet with a skin problem that sheds on your carpet or your couch. Animals have suffered with this because it is transmitted so easily from family members to the dog or the cat. And once we're able to detox the family, the pets need to be detoxed as well. So this is a battle that needs to be seriously considered. A family contacted me about 10 years ago. The mother had eye trouble. Her husband did not want to take the pills to detox. I warned her they should do this together. She developed diabetes. That was the beginning. It was so serious. I asked her to send her saliva to Hannah Kroger. Maybe she would pay attention to Hannah, who was a world-famous healer. But she would only be well for a few days, and then back it would come with all of the complications. She had eye surgery for cataracts. And that was just candida, because it's mold and it grows over your eye. Her husband had jock itch. His toenails turned black. Then their yellow lab had mold on his body and his eyelids, and I suggested shaving the dog and bathing him in baking soda, as the Russian doctor wrote about. He said baking soda helps to get rid of candida. But they went to the vet for antibiotics, and the problem became much worse. The dog was put down in a few months, and it was so sad for me. I just could not educate them. Their adult daughter has been fighting cancer for about 2 years, and she has had surgeries and chemo. And yesterday, I received a letter from them asking me to pray for their daughter. We have a major problem with this mold, and we need to educate everyone that will listen. It is so difficult for people to understand that this is killing people all over the planet. Some countries have forbidden use of many of the drugs that we are using here in the United States. but we seem to think these new futuristic drugs will save our lives, and it is rare to find even one out of 100 that has managed to live after the surgery, the chemo, and radiation. It is something each person needs to consider, and I'm here to help. It really takes only a month, but it has to be a determined effort. If there's been damage to an organ, then I will suggest supplements that can repair those organs once the detox has been successful. I spoke about RNA a few weeks ago, and this contains our original blueprint of every cell when we were healthy. So the new cells created after the detox will be created back in the original healthy form. I was given 3 months to live in the 1970s, and I was diagnosed with lymphoma plus cancer in my right eye. I studied with Dr. Kelly. He used blood samples to understand and suggest the supplements needed to restore the organs and my right eye. With Hannah Kroger, I was taught to use saliva, and this could come from a long distance, so that was much more simple for me to use to help people. Now I'm working with Starseed, and I have a discounted donation for a health reading. If you wish to send saliva, I will instruct you as to the proper way to send the saliva to me, and you can click on the Starseed website. The health reading starts with your first saliva, then a second saliva, and an additional reading after we have detoxed you. Another month or so, and I will give you another saliva reading. I consider that that each person I work with is a student, so you'll be able to help others with the health answers that you have learned. So with this, I wish you good health and blessings.
Oh, thank you so much, Belva. And today that is our Pleiadian lineup, Belvalation. And we will have more Belvalations as time goes on. And so back to you, Ariel. Thank you, Belva.
Thank you, Belva. And I have Lavendar on the line right now. Lavendar, do you want to take some questions for Belva, or do you want to go into your material at this point?
Since we don't know which lines are Belva questions, maybe we'll just wait until after I give the information about the Pleiadians, and then we'll see, you know.
Okay. All right. Well, Belva will
be
with us. She'll be with us throughout the call. So I do have Sierra in the chat room. Let me just check in with her and make sure we have everything working right in there. Okay. Hi, Sierra.
Hi, Ariel. How are you?
Good. I just wanted to check in and see if everything is working okay in the chat room, or if you have questions.
Actually, it's not. We have a storm here right now, and the internet is down, and so unfortunately, the chat room is not up at this time. And I just wanted to let everybody know that and apologize.
Okay. Well, thank you. I had a feeling that, that I needed to talk to you right away. So the chat room is probably going to be closed for the whole show unless miraculously something happens, but
they're working on it right now, but I'll keep my eye on it, and if it comes back up, I'll open it back up again.
Okay. All right.
Thank you.
So thanks, Sierra.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, Lavendar.
Okay, thank you. Well, since this is Pleiadian lineup, and of course those dates, you know, are 17th, 18th, and 19th, however, the ships have been coming in a little early these last few years. They come in on about the 15th, and they stay until the 20th. So like I said before, I woke up this morning thinking I should go to the bank vault and pull out some of this information that I had journaled already. So now I'm going to read from the journal. Back to November of 1983. I was given some information about some of the beings that would be coming to the planet on November 17th, 18th, and 19th. The Pleiadians had conducted an experiment with our planet many thousands of years ago. Some beings from there had agreed to volunteer to come to Earth to help bring Earth new experiences and evolution. The Pleiades rises on the eastern horizon on the dates mentioned. This particular time was especially significant because of the ones who had ventured to Earth thousands of years ago, would now have the opportunity to return to the Pleiades, their home. A plan was devised, one of extraordinary measures, to ensure success of them returning. You see, there is a band of energy around this planet that keeps this planet in quarantine. It's real easy to come here, but very difficult to leave. So frequencies have to be changed, broken, assimilated, altered, and matched to correspond to the rest of the plan of leaving the planet. And that is what a group of ETs did for some of their people in November of 1983. An agreement was made with thousands on the planet that no matter what they were doing or involved in on the planet, that in those 3 days, they could be apported home with no questions asked. It wasn't just the Pleiadians, but other species as well. The Pleiadians were focused on, well, because of the great number of Pleiadians who agreed to come and be part of the reawakening process of the people. But many came from Antares, Arcturus, Argol, Andromeda, Lyra, Centauria, Orion, Alberdine, Beltagese, Cirrus, Regulus, Cybuk, Altar, Polaris, Alcone, and a few places that, you know, you have no names for, even know that of their existence. The names here are those that you have named them. Okay, they are known by other radiations and specifications known to other stellar worlds. But the Pleiades, known to you as the Seven Sisters, had programs instilled into bloodlines, and so therefore, it became a Pleiadian theme, so to speak. Excuse me. I typed some information about the Pleiadian arrival on these dates and sent out about 200 copies to some key people that I wanted to share this happening with. I was told that other PowerPoints would be visited and that Ruidoso, New Mexico was one of them. The mountains there are lined up to the grid that matches the Great Pyramid of Giza, along with some other places on the planet. One of the reasons that the Pleiadians and others would come to these PowerPoints was to seed and plant energies that would continue the work that was to be done. I had planted crystals around a place called the Swiss Chalet, a motel in Ruidoso in 1982. My chef had me do it and told me that later it would be evident why I had planted them there. The motel was being refurbished in September and October and opened for business on, guess what date, November 17th. So, in my letter to the people, I tell them that the Swiss Chalet was a spot that they should be staying at. I didn't know until I returned that a great gathering had taken place and people with starseed flowing in their blood showed up for this experience. Later in the story, I will give further details of what happened in New Mexico on those 3 days in November. So, a lot of people came to me and said, you know, I really want to go on this. I didn't really put together a group, a tour. I just put the information out. I said, I'm going to be on this airplane on this date, and if you want to come, you know, come and be there. So we had, I think it was around 18 people that came on this trip. And I won't be mentioning their names, but I do want to mention that I really revere their courage for showing up because they had no idea what was going to be happening to them then or to the years after that. Okay, it's important that I go to Greece before I went to Egypt. I didn't know why then, but now it's quite evident. And let me back up to the story about the god and goddesses that left Greece. When the god Jehovah came to reign and control the light structure on the planet, a decree went out that all beings with god powers just had to go. He would have no other god or goddesses on the planet in which he would have to share his power. Jehovah was a powerful, vengeful, all-consuming god who was jealous even of his own bloodline on the planet. It was his desire that he would produce a bloodline that he could control even when he left the planet. they would stay in charge of the power and domination that was needed to be in order for him to reign as supreme power over all that was on the planet. Now, the god Yahweh, who also came from the Pleiades a long time ago, he also had beings that he groomed for godhood, and thus the mythical characters that history talks about were indeed real beings and real gods and goddesses with great powers of manifestation. They used all cosmic laws on this planet and brought forth other laws that they had used from the Pleiades from times past. Yahweh was a powerful, peaceful, loving, gracious God, and believed that all should have the right to evolve into godhood such as he. Jehovah, on the other hand, wanted restrictions on the people and wanted their obedience to his commands and punished them if they disobeyed. In the Holy Bible, you will notice that two gods are mentioned, one of great love and compassion, and the other a vengeful god. As a child, that always bothered me, and not until I arrived in Greece and was told as I walked the hill where the olives grew, did I know the full story of why the gods and goddesses were banished off this planet. You have to remember that I was brought up as a God-fearing Baptist, and this new information was overwhelming, to say the least. And some part of me really didn't want to believe it, and yet I knew it was true, because, well, it just made so much sense. On the second day, we went to the top of a hill where a Greek Orthodox church was. A man there was holding a camera and asking people to take his picture. I noticed that he didn't have a human aura and knew that he was from my ship. I looked him straight in the eye, and a beam of energy came through, and I acknowledged it, and we went out onto the church. He coded me, and now I see what was put in motion from his brilliant eyes. I planted crystals in the sand in the church next to the candles, then proceeded out the door to where I wasn't sure. I was being directed down the hill, and finally I heard a voice say, "Plant a crystal at the base of the olive tree." And I said, "Well, I don't know what an olive tree looks like." "We'll be there to guide you. Just keep walking." Leslie was with me, and Thurman joined us in a few minutes. I saw an olive tree growing out of a rock without any soil. I planted a couple of crystals, and a great sense of peace came over me, and I sat down and looked out over Athens as something was being fed into my brain. Information that I wouldn't even need for years to come. Tears filled my eyes, and great emotional depth penetrated my soul. But all I could say was, "Papa, I'm home. Papa, I'm home." I was isolated in a time capsule and seeing things that I had to block out and put on hold. I had my work in Cairo, and I didn't want to pull too much grease into my system. I asked for guidance, and it came, and soon I was back to the present time. I looked over at Leslie and smiled, and she was talking incessantly about something. I felt a real kinship toward her and realized that she too had lived, loved, and played with the gods and goddesses of that time. I looked over at Thurman and knew that he too played a big part in all this, but I didn't want to see what it was because I knew that I could fall off the mountain if I knew at that moment. Later on, a couple of weeks away, I would come back to Greece, and Thurman would bring me a book to read. I didn't have time to read it then because my brain didn't want to read. So I asked for the most important thing in the book to be revealed to me as I opened the book to a certain page. I've used that system for years, and it has worked every time. It's hard to remember all the details, but I don't have the book here, but here's the gist of it. There was a game played in the last days before the gods and goddesses left. They demonstrated all kinds of powers and presented themselves through great phenomena, a show of their strength and power. I can't remember if it was Neptune or Zeus, but Athena challenged one of them for demonstration. She made a declaration and said that she would make an olive tree grow out of stone and would put forth life into it that would make it live thousands of years or until she returned to change it. The olives were emerald green then, not drab as they are now. Jehovah changed all of that with one stroke when he arrived so that those of Greece would never forget who was truly God. But on that day, they were emerald green, and she made a ceremony of it, and her closest loved ones Well, they went to the tree and took an olive. As they did, they turned into real emeralds and became the symbol of Athena in her last hours on the planet. These stones still exist on the planet today, and some of them will be discovered in the next few years. The placing of the tiny crystals at the base of the olive tree, I suppose, was a gesture of intent. I'm not quite sure of all of its ramifications, but later maybe I'll be told of their significance, if any, planting the crystals by the olive tree and what it really means. I seem to be having trouble holding my balance as I write this because of my judgment about how Jehovah changed the color of the olive. I'm going to move on now to the next event that holds the real key to this story. Leslie and I became aware of a certain statue in the museum. We had seen it earlier and decided that we needed to return to it. The museum was closed when we got there, and so we had to sit on a bench outside the entrance. I was hooked up to a frequency that communicated to me, and I heard the essence of the statue speak to me. I put the communication on tape, but it hasn't been typed. I only heard it twice since then, but I really don't have that information at this time. Later, I'll add it to this story. The statue spoke of the last days of Athena and her mighty warriors. Athena's maidservant and confidant was granted one wish, and she decided that she wanted to become immortal and in stone. The process works like this. A perfect replica of the maidservant was erected to enhance the energy exchange. Inside the statue was placed energies that could come alive at different times of the years according to the seasons, planets, and galactic ship activation. The maidservant would reside aboard the ship but would be able to come to Earth for a look-see during these times. The statue was made of substances that would hold crystalline frequencies. It would not decay from time. On this particular day, when the communication came, I had an unexpected thing happen. The statue spoke of going to Cairo and asked me if I would permit her to extend from the statue and accompany me to do initiation. She said, once again. Well, who was I to tell a statue anything? I couldn't believe I was hearing it anyway. I was for sure two steps away from insanity, and I really didn't know how I was ever going to explain this to anyone. And there sat Leslie next to me, and she was a duplicate of the statue. And all at once, I kind of wish I'd never been born to this experiment on planet Earth. Every concept that I'd ever had about structure and matter dissipated before my eyes. I knew that all this was planned for my growth and experience. I also knew that I was a recorder of events, but I didn't know how I was ever going to write about this where anyone would believe me. In fact, today is the first time that I have brought the statue material to any great focus. So an energy exchange was made, and she rode to Cairo sitting in my other pineal with me. Don't you think it was a great picture for setting up sheer insanity to come forth and leave me babbling worse than a brook? After this exchange, I looked at Leslie and wondered what she thought. I really didn't want to know because, with her sharp, keen mind, I knew that she was reaching for whatever sanity she had left. I had never spoken to her about it since. In fact, we both acted like it never happened. You know, it was just saner that way. While I was in Greece, I was shown the plan of the return of the gods and goddesses all over the planet. Some would manifest with bodies that would make they would make, while others would just simply walk in a bloodline that they could function through. By the end of December of 83, 200 or more gods and goddesses of past times of Greece would be alive, well, and walking on the planet. You can see why I didn't immediately give this to the media or talk to many about this subject matter. Most of this was over my head, and I would have to grow steadily with the information or risk the possibility of burnout. Also, that the bloodlines that they had left would come and be reactivated. They would have such knowing that when they would wander through crowds and see them, that all they had to do was get near the person, perhaps accidentally brush up against them, or have some electrical hit energy exchange between them. Some tried to use computers and the new technology of the planet, but that has been discarded because of brain dysfunction later. there are several plans of actions that they partook of. One, they have come to activate their bloodline and want to take everyone home carrying it. Two, manifest some god and goddesses in full-blown energy for the arrival of Jehovah and his forces. Three, get new seed ready to activate for the new age of reason with Yahweh programming from the Pleiades. Four, set up the planet through the grid system so that interstellar commerce can happen after the cleansing of the Earth is over. Five, help their bloodline and starseed of other species to come forth with some buried secrets that are in the Earth, in temples, pyramids, and PowerPoints. Network and orchestrate their bloodline in such a way that a more harmonious existence will function on planet Earth. Six, setting forth the God principles and matching with the people who will accept it. Grooming the seedlings left from before in gods and goddesses so that they can take their place in the scheme of things in this solar system. Seven, their entrance back to the planet was calculated and was put in cosmic motion the day that they left over 4,000 years ago. Their return is not to be a threat to evolutionary process, but a blending of cosmic harmonics that is known throughout many universes. Eight, transmutation of some of their actions while they were on the planet from before will produce events that will facilitate their using their powers for balance, peace, and harmony. Some past actions performed on Earth will be dealt with as the causes and effects of those times will be reactivated within 24 months of their arrival. Eight season changes match dimensional vibration and clears the energies from where they have been before coming to Earth in November, December of 83. Energy adjustments have had to be made with the physical bodies in which they are residing, and silica buildup and repair had to manifest in degrees and stages so that the Earth flesh bodies could hold and match the frequencies of God forces. Nine. Those who have been picked to carry these energies have gone through many drastic changes in the past 2 years in order to comply with dimensional vibrational changes. Some bodies were simply just aborted and could not hold or match the frequencies. They will return to normal degree of status of human behavior with a radiance of a faint remembrance systems as if in a dream state. Their participation in the galactic experiment will be well received on many levels of karmic action and reaction of resonating harmonics. Those who could not hold these energies will be guided into other areas of service for the planet and will be in sympatico with the entire plan that was put in motion November, December 1983. One of the experiments of venturing to Greece and Cairo was to participate in this exchange and be part of the returning god and goddesses. Not all who came for the experience were accepted to participate. Many factions were considered, and not one particular aspect was the discerning factor, but a combination of computed material. The very fact that those wanted the experience elevated their consciousness. And so no judgment here can be interjected as to who is and who isn't carrying these god and goddess energies. Those 3 days in November were also to put forth energies in thousands upon the planet for monitoring and were dissipated by November 30th, 1983. This is how that process works. Great concern for the planet's welfare became the focus of the meeting that was held off the planet on November 1 of 83. The full plan was devised and put in motion with the openings of many dimensions for that 3-day period of November 17th, 18th, and 19th. The Intergalactic Federation, the Ashtar Command, the Crystal Brotherhood of the Antares Arcturus Midway Station, the White Lodge of the Brotherhoods on and off the planet, avatars of this solar system, avatars of other solar systems, all partook of the monitoring process. Each was broken down into categories, bloodlines, heritage of karmic participation, and soul essence records. This was a gigantic operation and was filtered through the Shambhala connections throughout the planet. Many entities aboard spacecraft compiled and distributed data that was pertinent to the entire operation. All over the world, these devices were sending information back so that a clear decision could be reached as to what available help should come forth to the people and to the planet. The eyes and ears of God, so to speak, were put in motion to measure the negative effects of man. Deep core drilling was done to test the Earth in her magnetic field so as to know the extent of help that would be able to receive from these celestial forces. An all-out effort was put in motion for 14 days, and at the end of that time, another meeting of the avatars was held, and galactic beings that came together and helped decide to what extent that they would come forth and extend their energies. With the appearance of the gods and goddesses, plus the meeting of the avatars and galactic beings, great changes are to take place on planet Earth. Never before in the history of the planet has such a meeting of so many coming forward in unison effort to bring a planet to better balance. Before, on other planets, a few would aid and let nature take its course, but an extended effort through the solar system and beyond has attracted a great interest in planet Earth. A total plan was devised upon conception of the planet, and now that other forces are interfering with the creation plans, makes for immediate actions taken by many from other dimensions, planets, stars, midway stations, spacecraft, avatars, and celestial beings that have no names on Earth. A crystal device was placed in thousands on the planet. Some were of third dimensional vibration, while others were of different visage. At the end of 14 days, most were dismantled within seconds of Earth time. Others, of a specific plan, were strengthened and geared to relay information constantly so that certain aspects of the plan could be monitored. All things were monitored, including, I remember looking at formulas for toothpaste, just to give one a picture of what was monitoring was all about. This kind of monitoring was done in stages, but not so elaborate as this one thousands of years ago, just before the sinking of Atlantis, mainly because the destruction of Atlantis could not be stopped. The main concern now, among all who attended the meeting, was the misuse of nuclear power on the planet. A plan was put in motion that would thwart any negative plan to destroy the Earth with atomic power. All agreed and came forward with plans to help the Earth and not let her be destroyed by man. Three plans, separate but in unison of purpose, are now in motion, and invisible beings are assigned to stop nuclear exchange before it ever happens. Many leaders of the world have been cloned, and if need be, will be switched in moments. An elaborate plan beyond most Earthlings' imagination is at work to ensure the safety of the planet. The decision to seed the plan into action from the Great Pyramid of Giza was a Pleiadian decision that ever being agreed upon. The resonating factors that reach deep into the Earth and all the channels along the grid system made for the best and most expedient place to seed the experiment. A spiral effect was placed into the tiny crystals that would be sent throughout the world and would continue the seeding of the entire operation. The activation of temples, pyramids, sanctuaries, power points was essential to the plan. Negative energies from past participation in these places would be transmuted and cleared to give the planet a free, clear shot of balance energy when the planet moves into the fourth dimensional vibration toward the end of our time. So, Ariel, at this time, I noticed that I have talk quite a long while, and if there is this is a time that I can break, I can continue on, or we can have questions at this time. I may take this in two parts and do, you know, next Tuesday, the remaining story of this adventure to Cairo, Egypt. It's up to you, Ariel. What do you think? I'm looking at the time, and we do have a lot of other people that would like to say something. And
right.
I'm really excited about Anastasia being on the air with us. So,
yes. Before I have a question myself.
Okay.
Earlier, I forget how long ago, but you called me up and we talked, and a lot of people, either through the forum, through the readings that you and I do, have asked similar questions, and it kind of goes along with Pleiadian lineup, so that's why I'm inserting it here before we move on. And the question, it comes in different forms, but it's basically, I don't know what I'm, quote, supposed to be doing. I feel like I have a mission. I don't know what it is. Who am I? People that they're activated and kind of spinning around. They don't know. They have this urgency, like I'm supposed to be doing something, but I don't know what it is, and you know, why can't I remember? And we had this conversation, and you had a solution and an answer. So, and I know that a lot of people that might feel the same way could appreciate this answer that you gave me. So, you want to tell us what it is?
Well, it's really quite simple, a lot of people may be put off by what I say about it. You know, if you live every day to your fullest, if you take what you know already to be true, and you go about your day, you know, you're cooking breakfast, you're getting your kids ready for school, you go to work, you put in your hours wherever you are. If you just simply do the very best you can to hold your light, hold the codes of your essence, know without a doubt that you are beaming a strong signal, and it's coming from all the way from home, from wherever you came from. And if you just, instead of, you know, moaning and griping about, oh, I'm unhappy and I don't know what I'm doing here, just simply, you know, grab a hold of the very fact that you're alive on the planet, you're here at this time, embrace that. And maybe you don't know all the details. You know, maybe you don't have the codes that I've been talking about in the way that I've been talking, but maybe something about yourself will just activate into a knowing that says, you know, I'm going to have joy in my life no matter what happens. And the person next to you at work or on the bus or on the airplane, wherever you go and whatever you do, know that energies come from you. You know, you maybe have fairy dust on your hands. I know I talked to a lady this past week. You know, she does makeup for movie stars. And it's like, I said, oh, you have fairy dust on your hands, and look at the people you're touching. And it's like, what a beautiful gift to have that, but for me to be able to see it in her. And it's like, I see that in so many different people. They have so many masterships, so many things that they developed, but they take granted for, you know, they take it for granted, you know, that, well, I just know how to do that. That's not important. Yes, it is important. If you're here on the planet, alive at this time, getting ready to face the evolutionary changes of the future, knowing that, you know, knowing that you're carrying bloodlines from way back when, you're a representative of a bloodline. You're a representative of beings that pledge to this planet to take it to its next evolutionary jump. So it's like, I just want people to get a grip on this, I guess.
Right. Well, I mean, you're just basically saying stand in your own light. And you never know if the person that you beam your light or brush up next to could then be activated and you could cause a chain reaction and never even know it. But if you'd been in a bad mood or depressed or worried or fretting or whatever, that encounter would never have happened. So the first mission, before you get onto an elusive big mission that you feel like you need to start, your first mission is to walk your talk every day.
Right.
Stand in your own light and try to stay in alignment and committed to standing in your own light. It keeps coming back to that. And I also had a question from a person on our forum, and I would like to hear your answer. How can we use Pleiadian lineup to our benefit? How can we use it to help our lives?
Well, first of all, acknowledge that this is a gigantic plan from the Pleiades, and it's been in motion for a very, very long time, and that the different bloodlines on the planet are marching on their way to a new evolutionary state. It's the time when great mighty ships come down on the planet and take the readouts, okay? The readouts, and I guess this would be a good place to talk about it. The readouts happen, say a ship comes over a town, and they can see and measure consciousness individually, collectively, bloodlines, cause and effects. They measure the ley lines, how the earth is fractured or underneath. All kinds of readings are taking place. And some of the readings that I've noticed, when they turn real red on the screen, you know, they'll say, okay, that place, there's probably going to be some weather that comes, a disaster is probably coming to that area, and a lot of beings may be leaving. Why? Because the calculation of all the harmonics comes to a big cluster. So, mm-hmm.
What? Right. Well, they can kind of see where, the structure of the house is rotting, and the roof's going to fall in, and
right.
You can't stop it.
No, yeah, and when it gets that 55 critical mass, they just mark it and say, okay, and here's the other part. They'll say, okay, there are beings that we need to clone, and they'll need to step out when they leave. And some of the people wake up and go, I need to move from here. I need to go somewhere. I mean, all kinds of things will go into motion for the ones that are not to be in the disaster area. So that's the good news.
So, well, yes, and again, if you are standing in your own light and holding the highest frequency that you can and maintaining it, then if you were in a dangerous spot, whether it's during Pleiadian lineup or not, there would be a readout on you that you need to be motivated to get out of there.
Right. And the other thing I want to mention, and I've mentioned this before on other shows, but our new listeners might not know it. There's a gigantic teleconference system that's set up between the ships, our planet, and the Pleiades. And people back home on the Pleiades, it's like the Super Bowl for them. It's like there are 3 days when everybody goes to their screens and they can see what's happening on Earth. You know, it's like a Super Bowl event.
Well, their whole civilization is involved in it, so I could see where it would have interest to everyone.
Right.
And another thing I want to interject right here before we move on is that for the people that have been searching and asking those questions, like, I know I've got to be doing something, and I just don't know what in this urgency. Make sure, first of all, that you have adequate silica intake, because that could be the problem right there.
Yeah.
If you don't have enough silica, you can't phone home, and they can't phone you.
Right.
You are, out. It's like no cell service. If you have adequate silica, then they can answer your questions, and you can become much more involved in higher frequency happenings.
Silica is quartz crystal, and quartz crystal is the common denominator for all beings and all planets everywhere. It's what everyone uses for communication. So if your silica is burned out, you know, you'll be sitting over the corner going, duh, wondering what to do next. I know.
Really. I mean, and I believe me, I have been there when you know that you're not, you know, from around here, and but still you're so depressed, you're almost paralyzed.
Right.
Because of the depression and the feeling of I'm failing at my mission, and that can eat you up.
And if you keep thinking about that, because you are what you're conscious of, if you're just going to be conscious of, you know, spinning around saying, oh, poor me, well, guess what? That's all you'll get. You have to snap yourself out of it.
That's right. So, and I'm just saying that probably every starseed has been there at some point or another, and if you're still there, go get some silica, first off.
Right, right.
You know, second off, protect yourself from your cell phone.
Right.
You know, get a good cell phone protection, because if you're using that cell phone without protection,
you're getting fried.
You're getting fried, and you just may as well,
a crispy critter.
Go sit down and scratch yourself from the race. So,
right.
Those two things in particular. So,
why don't we open the telephone lines up and see who's calling in?
Okay. Wow. That was a bunch of interference right there. Don't know where that came from. So, let me see. Here we have our friend Tina.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hello, Tina. You're on the air.
Well, hi. I just wanted to say, my gosh, Lavendar, I'm just so glad this is recorded so I can, like, go back and listen a few more times and try to understand everything you experienced and told us about, because it's a lot. And it's amazing that you can tell us all that. And Ariel, your system of having it recorded, we can go back and listen over and over until we, you know, try to understand it. It's amazing. So thank you, and I just wanted to say, when you were talking about being in your own light and being in the highest frequency, I remembered this summer when I had the opportunity here in Boulder to listen to Rigoberta Menchu, who is one of our Nobel Prize winners. She came to Boulder with two of her teachers, who were these little Mayan Indian natives, and they really didn't speak, they only spoke Spanish and their Mayan language, and they talked to us through interpreters and told us that our number one job in life right now is to be happy. And I just thought, wow, you know, that's exactly what you guys are telling us right now. And I wanted to share that there are tools here that have come to North America within this year, within the last few months, that can really assist with that. And they infuse your energy system, your body and your energetic sort of your vibration that goes around your body. They protect you from these cell phones and all electromagnetic interference, which is really important for your happiness and your state of mind and your equilibrium and your clarity. Because if you have cracks in your bioenergetic shield, then disturbances come through to your body and you lose the ability to be happy as much as you can be. And you lose your clarity and your groundedness, and it's quite an interference. So these tools that I've had the experience of using have in them zero-point energy, which is an energy that contains every vibration of energy, and so therefore it resonates with every living thing, with all humans, plants, animals. And since it resonates with you, it doesn't invade your body in any way. It just helps it to become whole, like in source. It's like source energy. So when you have this energy in your body, you become happier. And I can say from my own personal experience that once I started using these products, I began to notice that when I would walk into a store or the health club, instead of just walking in and being a non-entity like I had been for years, people would just look up and smile at me and say, "Oh, hi, at the store. How can I help you?" I never used to get these sorts of questions of support and happiness before. I mean, maybe occasionally, but nothing like this. And it's truly a blessing to be able to have this energy in your body and to be able to share this happiness that you begin to feel, and a whole energy field around you of just glowingness. And to share that wherever you go, it's just such a blessing. And I have one of my friends who is going to have to get her number identified so that she has a 720530 number, and her name is Lee Cook. And my friend Lee Cook is a very amazing channel and works for people all over the world. And she has been able to actually channel some information about the zero-point energy. And if Ariel, if you could identify her phone number, which starts with 720530, she could give a little more information about the zero-point energy right now. Are you on the phone, Lee?
I'm looking on our switchboard, and we have a record number of callers, yet none with that prefix.
Oh, well, I thought that she was going to be able to be on, but if she isn't, maybe she can be on another evening. She has some amazing information that she has brought forth and about this. And I know that also Lavendar has been using one of these tools to a certain extent and feels that it has been helpful for her as well. Is that right? Are you there, Lavendar?
Yes, absolutely. I put it on September 18th, the day that I released Crack Between the Worlds. It has not been off my body since. And I told Ariel the other day, I said, we really need to support Tina and this mission of zero point energy. So we will be having your link up on our site within this next week. So I want people to look for it, and we'll announce it. Sure, I think it's one of the tools that that go on the belt. I really believe it is.
Well, thanks. And if anyone has questions later, I'll be happy to help them answer them.
Okay, thank you so much, Tina. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Tina. Well, we do have a record number of callers, and I'm having looking for our friends here that wanted to come on and share some things with us, and there's so many numbers here. So I'm just going to start answering calls, if that's okay with you, Lavendar.
Okay.
Okay. From the 904 area, 710-904, you're on the air. Do you have a question?
Hi. I just came in for, you mentioned Anastasia was going to be on later.
Uh-huh. Okay, yes, she was. She will. Let me just make a note here, and I'll bring you back on after. Okay, I will bring you back on after Anastasia comes on. Just let me write your number down here. Okay.
Okay, thanks.
What is your first name?
Kathy.
Okay, Kathy, we'll be back to you. Thanks.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, Lavendar, I have never seen so many callers, so we just need to, bring Anastasia on and then answer a bunch of calls, because they could be waiting for her.
Okay. If whatever.
Yeah. Well, I don't see. We're waiting for some other people to call in. Let me just. The sun just went into, technically, tonight the Pleiadian lineup starts. you want to mention something about that while I go through these numbers?
Well, it happens when the sun is, well, it starts at 25 degrees and goes 26. So the 26 apex will, of course, it's happening in Cairo right now. But when the sun is 26 degrees of Scorpio is when the energetics of the people that hold these astrological timings, and a lot of people, I have done two solar return charts in the last couple of days, people that have birthdays this week. And, of course, what a great time to talk to people during Pleiadian lineup and our friend Muggsy. And Muggsy was going to call in. Do you see a 928 any place?
Not yet, but I see our friend Sandra.
Okay, Sandra, okay.
513. Sandra, you are on the air.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, I'm kind of surprised.
Me too.
I know that Lavender asked me to call in and we were supposed to talk, and I would get enlightenment during the day as to what we were talking about, but it's been interesting because while you've been talking, what I've noticed over the last few days prior to this happening, and I think Tammy is supposed to be on the line tonight too, I'm asking about Tammy Lavender because she has come into a situation where over the last few days she's had a number of being nearly run off the road, well, actually run off the road by a couple of semis and so forth, and knowing the work that she does, is this something that, you know, we were talking about a little bit before we even had to do the radio program? What does she do? How does she deal with all of this thing? Because it really felt like a real actual attack on her process. And how do they talk to us about what we do with this? She and I have come up with the idea that you just need to be very focused on yourself. She did get through both of the near collision situations, but it was not easy.
You know, I'm going to try a little experiment now, if you don't mind.
Okay.
I want all of our listeners to think of our friend Tammy in Ohio and visualize through Sandra's voice her friend Tammy, and
Tammy's
just send emerald, bright emerald green light to Tammy. I know that Sierra had a headache, and we did that for her last week, and her headache went away. So for all of you that think you don't have any talents in this direction, think again, because it looks like that the listeners on this radio show, you know, when they suit up, they really can do a few great healing modalities. So, Sandra, you just keep talking. We'll just start visualizing Tammy,
Sandra,
and we're just going to send the emerald flame straight to Tammy, whatever she needs, whatever the energies that we're sending will just strengthen her. And maybe we'll get these cooties gone.
Tammy's on the air.
Yeah, I think that you want me to check out?
No, you can stay. Tammy, are you here? I've got your mic open. Hello? 513-236. Unmute your phone, sweetie. Are you there? She's trying. Well, I'm going to leave your mic open, Tammy, if you get your phone straightened out. Go ahead, Sandra.
I think she needs to know if she does one, she should be on, right?
It doesn't matter. I've got her microphone open, so if she starts talking, but she's got to be unmuted on her end.
Well, what I thought was interesting is that Tammy's been very, very active using the Gizas, and it seems like on just the day that she was going to go use the Gizas down in Cincinnati, she had the first situation where she had a semi literally try to take her out of a situation. She's had some other things that she's talked to Lavender about, but this energy, how does one deal with the fact that, you know, you're active, you're out there, you're a warrior, this is the things that you have to do, but is this something that's really coming because she's out here doing this work, or is this just simply one of those things where people have got road rage and they're just kind of you know, going off into things. How does one deal with that, Lavender, with wisdom? I mean, she stays in her light. She does her work. But this was really harrowing today.
Well, you know, sometimes it's a cluster. And when you're holding a certain kind of light vibration, you will attract some real crazy energy along the way.
Yeah, we talked about it.
So it's like, you know, we have to take, you know, the good with the bad with these Giza crystals. You're on assignment with, you know, with them, and sometimes, you know, you've got gorgals that just come out to scare you. But you know what? Tammy's going to be protected. She's going to be fine through this. It's going to strengthen her, all these harrowing experiences that she has.
Mm-hmm.
And I've heard a few.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, we can
yes.
hear you now.
Okay, great. Yeah, I had somebody actually chase me down all the way to my exit today, and they actually threw something at my car after they ran me into oncoming traffic and then followed me for about 15 miles. It was like a movie, something you would see in a movie.
Wow.
It was like the movie Duel, right? The road, the truck.
Yeah.
Pardon?
Oh, there's a movie called Duel.
There was a movie like that.
Yeah.
If I could offer a thought, because in a similar situation that Lavender and I experienced, you have to remember that if you think that you're being attacked, then that is your defense. And you don't need to really do anything because of the polarity that sets up with the opposing energy. It just bounces off your energy field. Now, I mean, it might have, I know it shook you up, but you're here talking about it. So,
well, it's actually
you were strong
and kind of made me remember the importance and just what I'm dealing with. Actually, I see it as knowledge is, you know, a great thing on this.
Good.
It's
and
more,
also
so much more of an importance into what I'm doing for one thing.
It's also important to check your transits when you're about to do something, because some transits are like having a bullseye on your back. You know, if you've got Mars conjunct Pluto, that's not the time to go do anything dangerous. But, you know, if you've got Jupiter conjunct Pluto, then you'll have all the help you need. So that's why it's important to, and I'm sure that you do that, but for other people that might be experiencing this kind of thing, that's why it's important to know your daily transits as well. But, gosh. So did you got the crystals where you wanted to get them?
No, I've been, I think four or five times I've attempted to go to this one spot. And actually, my dog got taken out when I was going to go last week.
Oh.
Yeah. Talk about igniting a warrior. I didn't put it together until yesterday, and I just started looking at events that have happened with my family and around me on to keep me from doing specific things. It's just amazing.
Well, it's an indication of your being right on and being very strong. So
it's not going to, you know, I'm not going to back down, and I'm so honored to be a part of this work, and thank you so much, Lavender, for sending me the crystals and allowing me to do this work.
Well, thank you for taking it on. And we're going to send this green emerald ray to you right now. Everyone that's listening, I want you to think of Tammy in Ohio, and it will get there to you.
Much gratitude.
I think sometimes we forget that not only does the physical body and our physical thing have, we have symptoms and things that happen to our physical body, but we are also activating other things in and around us as we're doing this, as you're increasing your frequency as you're increasing and you're having to come up and face all these releasing of all these thought forms, all these life forms, all these belief systems they're having to break up and to move away because you can't take them with you. I mean, this is not something that belongs into this new frequency. And a lot of times we get so caught up in just what's going to go on in our physical world, we forget that our physical world is, in fact, our body and our earth and all the things that are happening here. And so sometimes we get thinking, oh, it's just going to be a headache or it's going to be this and that. And then you look around and you have your family going sky west and crooked on you. And then, or you have people, you know, with road rage. And then other parts you have wonderful things happening where you're making a lot of incredible connections. So I don't think that we can look at anything in two dimensions, is my point.
No.
Right.
Collection of things.
Yeah.
It's a cluster.
But beyond this that has been coming after me, my experiences with these Giza crystals have just been amazing. I've been taken into the void with them in just some amazing adventures this summer. So I hope that you're journaling
all of this.
Oh, yes. I'm sending my reports to Lavendar.
Okay, good.
Well, thank you so much, ladies. Thank
you
so
thanks
much.
A lot. Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay. Let's get Anastasia on here
okay.
now. I just saw her number. Honestly, our phone lines are so full, I'm having to weed through to find her, but I know she's here. I just saw it. So continue. Talk amongst yourselves, boys and girls, and I'll be right back.
Is Sarah up with the chat room? Sarah, is she still with us?
I don't know. Hang on a second. Okay, I'm just looking through, you know, dozens and dozens of phone numbers. I don't see Sierra's number up here, but that doesn't mean that she's not out there. I don't know about the chat room today. But
okay.
We do have Anastasia. Hello. Where I'm trying to turn your mic on. Hang on. There you are, Anastasia.
Hello.
Hello.
Can you hear me? Hello, everyone. It's so great to be with you tonight. What wonderful energy and wonderful beings. And Lavendar, I loved everything that you said. And thank you, Ariel, for doing this program. It's just great. It's great to feel all this family together. Thanks for having me on.
Well, you know, we have an ever-growing family, and you've been part of our family for a long time, and we just want everybody to know and love you the way we do.
Well, thank you so much. And I want to say hi to Belva, too, real quick. I didn't want to leave her out. Bless her heart. She's doing so much good work for everybody. Listen, Ariel, I just was chomping at the bit to talk to Tammy real briefly. I just wanted to tell Tammy I really was feeling so much about her situation. So let me just say briefly that, Tammy, you're soul is watching over. You are protected. I see great things ahead. You're going to see steady improvements now coming upon you rapidly in the next few days into the next month. And one of the things that I just, and we probably ought to talk about this, you know, more in depth, but a little bit of some interference energetically, and that's down the road. You've passed through this portal of trial and trauma, and things are going to get better. And I just want you to know that and how much you're loved. So I wanted to make sure Tammy got those words.
Well, thank you. And we're going to go back now to Kathy. Kathy from Area 904, you're on the air with Anastasia.
Hello. Kathy. Hi there.
Hi.
How are you? It's nice to have you on the show.
Oh, I listen all the time.
Well, this is my first night to be present with all of you. So what can I do to help you tonight, Kathy?
Just a soul reading, the way you were introduced when Lavendar first came on.
Yeah, you bet. Well, you know, I wanted to tell you that I picked up around you the first time that you called is that you're really a tender, tender soul. You have a lot of love in your being, and you've got a lot of strength, and joy is one of the ways in which you're going to manifest your soul path. I want to go back to what Lavendar said earlier. It was just so profound, and I was so glad that she said it. to everyone, and that is that when we think about our mission, the first thing that we have to do is be present in the moment and be joyful with our lives and radiate our light. That is the key, because the way we're going to connect to our soul level is by being still within ourselves and feeling our inner presence. And it is like finding the inner light, tapping into that, being conscious of it, and then we need to begin to emanate like the sun. And we radiate. And that comes very easy to you, Kathy, because you have so much joy in your being. And you're here to help with the transition. And one of your challenges is to take a stand and to express self-confidence and to have faith in yourself. And you have so much tenderness and intellect to offer. Do you like to write?
Yes.
I feel as though you're... Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay. I feel as though one of your soul missions, at least at this point in your life, is to express yourself, to learn to express with confidence and to teach and to do some writing. And I feel like you're really good with children and that you have a wonderful, you know, there's a difference between naivete and innocence. And naivete is when we're childish, but innocence is when we are childlike. And if we go back to, let's say, the scriptures where it says, except you be as little children, you cannot find the kingdom of heaven. And it is about the innocence of our being, which is the purity. And you have a lot of purity to bring to the world, Kathy, a lot of refreshing, beautiful energies. And so everywhere you go, you purify. And it is at your stage now to... be confident in yourself and to be strong inside of yourself. And you have your challenges, but self-confidence will help you see what those challenges are, how they need to be dealt with, and move forward being joyful in who you are. Have you ever felt like you're sort of innocent sometimes? Do you sometimes feel that way?
Yes, I do.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's something to embrace and not to be embarrassed about. It is a wonderful quality. And with maturity and experience and practice and, you know, all of these things that we do to grow, we can develop that innocence to where we become and where you're going to become really a powerful teacher and powerful.
I love teaching.
Well, that's your path. And you're wonderful with children.
Okay.
All right. I hope that's been helpful.
Yeah. Yes, it has been. Thank you.
Oh, it's been great. Yeah, you go forward with confidence and happiness and be joyful. You've got a beautiful light in you.
Okay, thanks.
Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
Thanks, Kathy. Thank you so much for joining us. And we're going to take a quick call from Sierra because she's back. I think because we have so many callers tonight, everything's working a little bit slower. There we are. Sierra, you're on the air.
Hi.
Do you have a question, comment, problem?
Well, we finally got the internet situation worked out, so we are back online again. We have couple of callers that are asking about some what appears to be bug bites. They don't know if it has to do with Pleiadian Pleiadian lineup. They're bites that they wake up in the morning time. They're not sure if they're bug bites or they may be bug bites. And they're a little bit itchy, and then they go away, and they wake up, and they have them again. One caller was in California, and I don't remember where the other one was from. They were just going to ask Lavender if she had a sense of if it might have to do with the Pleiadian lineup.
Yeah, sometimes, especially if a person has crystal implants, and during Pleiadian lineup, there will be little spots on your body that will itch and will look like a bug bite. It is an activation. It isn't, you know, it's not for everyone, but I'm just saying, yes, that's a very strong possibility.
Perfect. And then I wanted to know, another listener wanted to know about moldavite and if it is a stone for Pleiadians and what you might have to offer around moldavite and the Pleiadian lineup and or anything you might want to offer about that as a starseed stone.
You know, I had a friend named Gail Flanagan. She was a beautiful Pleiadian. She's off the planet now. We lost her many years ago. And she started working with moldavite, and she really she embraced it, and she made jewelry pieces, and she sent me, in fact, she sent me a pair of earrings just the week before she died, and I have them here, and in fact, I'm looking at them now. Moldavite is a stone that somehow helps activate a lot of different extraterrestrial communications, so not just Pleiadian. I think it has a wide range of influence.
Perfect. And then how can a starseed or anyone use the Moldavite to access that communication? Meditate with it, or what is it?
I think it depends on the person. That it doesn't work for everyone. It just depends on your attunement and your willingness to go forward with the questions or feelings, whatever's happening to the person at the time. People that use stones for some for calming, some for energy. Moldavite is kind of an interstellar communication device. So I think it's specific to the person. I don't think it's for everyone.
Okay, great. And then another question was, someone had either heard you mention it, or it's on the blog, or maybe in the forum about one of the ways to figure out to recognize a starseed is that they don't want children of their own in this lifetime. You want to say anything about that?
I guess I didn't understand the question.
What I'm getting from the chat room is an indicator of a star child, a starseed, is if a person is a starseed and they don't want to have children in this lifetime, is that also another indicator of being a starseed?
Okay, yes, there are a lot of women that have had, other prior lifetimes where they've had children, and they don't really have the need to do it in this lifetime because their energies are more focused to do something else. And so I have a lot of women friends that, have said, I just don't want to have any kids. It's not part of what I'm here to do. And that seems to be a growing theme that I'm finding with a lot of very advanced beings on the planet. They just don't seem to feel the need to have children. Because maybe, maybe some of their children are in the sky.
And what? If you're here for all of the children, not just a couple of your own,
right?
That's another way that you can express it. And certainly if you had your own children, they would have to take priority over all of the crystal children that are coming. So if you're here for the crystal children, they need to take priority over everything if that's what your mission is. So completely understand that one.
Well, the decision that I had to make back in the, several years ago was what my mission on the planet was, I knew that I couldn't have any Earth children to put them up for the play. I knew that I was going to be walking in some very dangerous areas, and I never wanted to have my children to be a pawn for them to play with.
Great.
Right.
And then I wanted to take this opportunity also to thank all the listeners for last week. It was such, I really, really had been struggling with migraines for weeks and weeks, and I had a particular migraine that had been full blast for about 5 or 6 days. I'd been in the emergency room. I tried all different kinds of Western and alternative healing methods. And when you asked Ariel to send energy my way, healing energy my way, my headache went away and hasn't come back. And last night I woke up this morning a little bit with a little bit of a headache, when I just started to reach out for that energy again. I've just been managing it. But thank you again to all the listeners for that wonderful healing light. I do very much appreciate it.
Great.
We're just happy that we were together at the right time and place.
Absolutely.
So, thank you so much for your work in the chat room and for your friendship, Sierra.
And thank you for the same.
Okay, I'm going to move on now because we do have a lot of callers. And I still have Anastasia. You're still live on the air, and so is Lavendar. I'm just going to go down the line because otherwise I'm going to get lost. Okay, from the 603 area, 603-365. You're on the Hello. Air. Hello.
Hello, this is Mark. Hello, this is Mark,
Hello?
Channel 20 Peace.
Hello.
Hello, this is Mark, Channel 20 Peace.
Hello, Mark.
Hello.
Do you have a comment or question? We can't. Can you hear us?
Yes, I can hear you fine, yes.
Okay,
can you hear
do you have
me?
A comment? Yes, I can. Do you have a comment or question for either Lavendar, Velva, or Anastasia?
Well, for Lavendar, basically, you know, I just want to appreciate everything that you do because, like myself, I also work from the multidimensional perspective, multi-universal. And it's pretty interesting because since the 1970s, I've been working with our galactic family as well. And I have memories as a child looking out my bedroom window, seeing them flying overhead, and knowing I was going to be playing with my friends that night. And then as I got older, I started understanding and remembering more and more of it, and my part working with them, and my own higher dimensional aspects on the ships, and what those aspects of me, my soul's expression, are doing on the ships. And it's been a very interesting experience, to say the least. Can't really put words to it, as you know.
Right. Right.
Where are you calling from? What state?
I'm calling from New Hampshire. And actually, Lavendar, if you would like, here in the White Mountains beneath Mount Lafayette, we have a crystal city of light, which I've been in. And, periodically I talk to one of the other galactic family members that lives in that city. And I definitely see myself in the New Earth living part of the time in that city of light. So I don't know
Great.
If you have any information you'd like to share about myself or about that crystal city of light, which is, like I said, it's underneath Mount Lafayette in New Hampshire.
Well, I think you've been placed there for holding the light and for distribution of the light that's happening in your area. And I feel like that you have been, of course, you chose to come and do this work before you were born. And so embracing that thought, you know, taking the things that you know and the things that you've experienced already and sharing with others of like mind is part of your mission, is to, you know, you're a star gatherer and you're finding other people like yourself. So I commend you for living where you live and doing what you do. And I feel like that great things are going to be happening for you between now and the 2012 movement. And I feel like you're on a kind of on an escalator. I'm seeing you, everything is moving up for you. You're an up spiral, and it's going very, very fast. And I would think probably in the next 7 days, you're going to have an extraordinary experience. And I see this huge blue light coming down over your house or over you somewhere, and you're going to be feeling really wonderful after this happens.
Sounds good. And I would like to invite you, Lavendar, to be a guest on my Blog Talk radio show as well.
Well, I would love to do that. So just send us an email and let us know, and I'll be happy to be a guest for you. Thank you.
All right.
Thanks, Mark.
And it's basically Blog Talk radio /healing4 inner peace, or the full name is Soul Evolution Journey and True Self-Empowerment.
Good. Thank you.
Thanks,
so I'm looking
Mark.
Forward to speaking with you directly, Lavendar.
Okay, thank you.
Love, light, and blessings.
Thank you. Thank you so much. We're going to move on to our next caller from the 702 area, 702-379. You're on the air. Hello? You're on the air, 702-379.
Hi. It's Georgia.
Oh, hi, Georgia.
Hi. I'm, like, waiting for a bus because I had to be at my printer, so I may not be able to talk long. And I wanted to add something to Sammy's call, and that is what I'm finding is when those things happen, a lot of times it's people caught between the dimensions that aren't grounded, and they aren't really seeing what's in front of them. At least I have found that because I've seen that a lot here out where I'm at in Vegas. with people driving? And do you find that that could be possible, Lavendar?
Oh, very possible.
Almost like they're invisible.
Right.
Definitely.
Right. They aren't really seeing you. They're not quite sure what they're seeing, and they're just acting on impulse. Because I even had one of those experiences myself. Almost 3 years ago, I got hit by a car by somebody who went right through a red light who didn't even see me. So I know they aren't looking, and I watch very carefully now when I go across any driveways or anything. People are not looking.
That's true. Well, you have to drive defensively even if you're walking.
Right.
You know. Well, thank you, Georgia. Thank you for calling. Do you have anything else you want to add before we move on?
No, I just wanted to thank Lavendar because I have a birthday in 2 days, and I am just like speeding, getting things done for my mission.
Well, happy birthday to you. Everybody, happy birthday to you. Great. What a great solar return on Pleiadian lineup. You make the most of it, girl.
I know. I'm loving it. And
okay.
Thank you, Lavendar.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye now.
All right.
Okay. Moving on down the line, we have Ginger calling. Hello, Ginger.
Hi. Good evening.
Good evening.
Hi. I was wanting to tell you guys I missed you. And I wanted to say hello to Lavendar and Anastasia, and of course you, Ariel, and Sierra, and everyone in the chat room. Hi.
Hi.
So, hi. I was wondering, I'm experiencing like horrible, horrible night sweats, and it's happened like within the last week, and they've been coming and going, and I was wondering if that had anything to do with, like, the Palladian stuff that's going on, and I was hoping maybe to get a soul reading from Anastasia.
Okay, Anastasia, you take it.
Okay, thank you so much. Well, you know, my first impression is energy factors, energetic factors going on around you, and I think it's a transitional phase, and so it's just something to stand steady in and don't worry too much about that. I just think it's part of the shift. And you've got beautiful energy. I feel like you have so many wonderful maternal instincts, not necessarily as a mother, but as a defined feminine aspect. You really radiate some lovely femininity and some strength in that, the kind that's strong, the strong feminine, the goddess feminine. And I really feel like in this lifetime, this femininity is meant to find full expression, and I want to hear your voice just a little bit more. Would you talk to me for just a second more?
Yes, I would like.
That's better. Yeah. Just talk further. What part of the country are you from?
I'm in the same state as Lavendar, and
okay.
Yeah, I like it, kind of.
Yeah.
I wish
yeah.
there were more people that I could associate with that are, like, physical here right now
mm-hmm.
next to me, but I do a lot of it over the Internet, and that's okay. It's great.
That time will come. That time will come. In fact, I think there are big shifts ahead in a positive way for you, but right now you're where you're supposed to be.
Mm-hmm. I believe that.
And I feel like you're just a wonderful counselor. A wonderful advisor. Do people come to you with their problems?
Oh, God dang, do they.
That's just part of your... Yeah.
And last week I just said, stop, no more, I can't take it. What
about
you know, me?
Honey, this is part of your... Oh, bless your heart. This is one of your gifts, and you have to modulate it, of course. I mean, you know, you have to be in balance yourself. You know that. That's why you kind of reached your limit and said, no more, I need a break.
Mm-hmm.
But it's this wonderful feminine goddess nurturing energy that people are thirsting for, that you emanate. And you bring joy and light to people through this wonderful, nurturing, understanding, really an all-knowing presence. And people hunger for this. They need this in their lives. And so one of your goals, of course, is to fulfill that purpose without becoming depleted. And that connects to your own mastery and knowing of yourself, knowing what your limits are, staying centered. And then we have to learn through a process of who we can help or who we're supposed to help and to what limit we go to. And part of this manifestation of your purpose is to observe people. And I really sense that you have great clairvoyant ability to be developed, and it can manifest in many ways. But it is to see the essence of others and
yes.
to know what you're to give them. And sometimes it's only a touch on the arm and a squeeze. It's really important not to become, you know, sort of an enabler to what we might call, and I don't mean to be derogatory, but what we've referred to, people refer to as psychic vampires. And I know that you're well advanced and that's not an issue.
Mm-hmm.
But as you, you know, mature in your mission, and this is just a tidbit, you know, on a live show, we could have a lot to talk about. But as you mature in this, and you are maturing beautifully, you're going to find that you're really bolstering others and giving them that inner strength, that inner... People that are asleep on the planet are essentially insecure
mm-hmm.
and essentially ungrounded. And to contact the goddess energy, the divine feminine, and to make an actual energetic link with someone who pours out love and understanding and this infinite maternal protection... I'm talking in energetic terms, but that's your ray. That's what you emanate.
Mm-hmm.
It helps heal them. It's a healing capacity. And so we could talk a lot about that. But essentially, you know, I feel like you're just wonderful counselor, healer, teacher, wonderful maternal energies. This you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, except this is going to open up for you immensely in the months to come. And so the key here is to work on self and do just what you're doing. Know when to pull back, and energy work, breath work, other things that we could talk about. But you kind of get my idea, right?
Yes, ma'am, I do.
And I think you're lovely, and you're greatly needed. And when you think about many soul-starved people on the planet who are just, you know, we're all made of love, and people know that deep inside, but they can't connect to it.
Mm-hmm.
And a good connection with a, you know, a divine feminine energy can be just the jump start that they need and can keep them sort of on track until they can progress further. So you're doing a lot of good. I consider you to be sort of a cosmic nurse, you know, on an energy level. You're like an ER nurse, okay? You're helping people in stress.
Well, thank you.
And keeping them going so they can get through the next day and the next moment so that they too can grow and have their wake up.
Well, I go ahead. I'm sorry.
I just said bless you.
Oh, thank you. I have to agree with you. Thank you. I have to agree with you there. There's one other thing I want to ask, and actually this is to Lavendar, and I'm going to ask it really quick. I've been having a lot of people from, like, my high school years pop up just, like, all of a sudden within the last week, maybe 2 weeks. And it's kind of, like, flooring me because, I mean, I've thought about them, but, I mean... I'm just wondering, really, what is that going on?
You know, sometimes where we choose groups of people to go to school with, and then years later they show up, and if you're holding the light, then they're attracted to your light to
okay.
reconnect with you.
All right, that's exactly what I got. I got it's a beacon.
Yeah.
I'm a beacon or something, and I didn't really understand. I mean, I understand what a beacon is, but I didn't understand
right.
fully.
They
so,
probably evolve to the stage in their lives where they need what you emanate.
Right.
Okay. Well, I thank you so much because I really needed to hear that. And I am at that stage where I'm learning how to actually say no and not feel bad about saying no. I've got to take this time for me. And I just did that. I've been on a 2-week hiatus.
Good.
So,
excellent. And it's very important. It's just as fundamental to do that as it is to serve others. I believe that you're doing well with your balance. You have deep understanding of it from an intuitive and soul level, and you're being guided. So I have great confidence in you. You're doing fine.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. And I want to say that the Starseed Academy has been nothing but a godsend to my life. And I am so, so, so deeply grateful for my friend Purple Sage for directing me to you guys. My heart is just, I'm just so happy, and I thank you. I really thank everyone that is a part of the Starseed Academy.
Thank you.
You're welcome, and namaste, ladies. Thank you so much.
Okay.
Thanks, Ginger.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. Bye, everyone.
Yeah, remember that that saying, Lavendar, that you taught me? Never say yes when you want to say no, and never say no when you want to say yes.
Yeah.
Because either way, it's going to come back and bite you in the butt. So, little words of wisdom with a chuckle. So, can we move on? We only have, gosh, we only have 15 minutes left, so I'm going to try to get to as many callers as I can and just go on down the line. We still have Belva. We still have Belva with us. So any question you might have for Lavendar, Belva, or Anastasia, you have to press 1 so that I'm aware that you want to speak and not just listen. From the 319 area, 319-338, you're on the air.
Hi, ladies. This is Karen.
Hello, Karen.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Oh, well, you're so welcome.
I was wondering if I could just get a soul reading from Anastasia.
Oh,
sure,
hi
thanks.
There. You bet. Can everybody hear me?
Mm-hmm. I can.
Okay, great. And what's your name again, dear?
My name is Karen.
Karen, uh-huh. And what part of the country do you live in, Karen?
I live in the Midwest. I actually live
okay.
in Iowa.
Oh, you do? All right.
Yeah.
Well, let's take a look at you. And so since I haven't heard you voice that much, just sit up straight for me, would you?
Okay.
And I'm going to take a look at your aura. I just want you to sit up straight and take a deep breath and let the air out, relax. I'm going to move quickly because we do not have much time, but I want to give you a great one and do it fast. So let me take a look at you and see what I'm picking up. Wow. Wow. Boy, I tell you, I've seen such beautiful colors tonight and such beautiful beings. And Karen, you're one of those. You have a deeply metaphysical, mystical nature. And I do feel as though you've had some challenges in this life that have been difficult. But you're really destined for success, and you're destined to bust out. It is as if all of those restraints and cautions or things that have stood in your way, hesitations, obstacles, and problems, are destined to break away. And one of the things that I feel that you're selected to do, other than, which is very important, is in the mystical and spiritual area, which, you know, we have so much to talk about. But on a light note, is to you're destined to feel joy and to share that joy, because you will have overcome many things in your life, and you're at a turning point now, and things are beginning to shift, and this time is particularly significant to you, and you're going to see great changes ahead. And I know that in relationship areas, you know, there's things that we could talk about, but the bottom line is that on a soul level, I believe that you are to be, I'm seeing this, a holder of the light. You have great mystical knowledge. I call your kind a sleeper. You contain smuggled light. There's many things that you know on a very deep level, and I don't want you to be frustrated about that, Karen, because that will come out when the time is ready, and that's going to be accessed through your joy and happiness and moving beyond the past and the things that have gone before and living in the moment. Does any of this make any sense to you?
I think so. You said something about a smothered light. Is that what you said?
No, smuggled. Smuggled.
Oh, smuggled?
Smuggled,
light?
Yes. Buried light that you brought in with you. And often people that come in with great difficulties early in life, or that have particular obstacles and obstructions, or that have defensive systems around them, this is meant to keep this light in check until it's released at a key moment in their lives, so that your awakening becomes sudden and brilliant. And it actually is a way for the higher beings, the higher dimensions, to protect you until the time of your, let's say, coming out as a light being is supposed to be. Does that
make
sense?
Do you know when it totally makes sense, and I'm wondering, do you know when that's meant to happen?
Well, when is, boy, I understand where you're coming from when you ask that question. When is now? Okay. Like I say, we have so much to talk about, but let me say that it's not a simplistic answer, but it is now, because every moment you are doing this, it's all in divine timing. And the key to this, Karen, is to find joy and freedom. You know, what you need to do is go out. Of course, it's getting cool now, but to have any contact with nature, hug a tree, watch some birds, stick your toe in the grass, connecting with Mother Earth, looking up at the sky. And it's really important that you pay attention to birds because of the way, well, they fly. And this is a symbol to you of how you need to release your spirit and let it fly. And so instead of being weighed down with when or the burden of trying to, like, you know, bring this thing forth, like you're giving birth with under labor pains, this is about releasing yourself. Does any of that make any sense in a fast amount of time?
It makes a lot of sense, and
well,
I have to give,
you know, you need ways to do it, and, you know, we need more in-depth talking, but there it is on a quick note, and I have great confidence you are going to fly. And this metaphysical knowledge and the secret knowledge that you hold is very important. It's part of the key. It's you're one of the keys to the lock. And so these are sacred things. These are sacred and hidden things. And they need to be treated with reverence. And so even though from our personality side, you know, our mind tries to analyze it, and we want to know the ins and outs of it, but as with all things multidimensional, we have to look at it with soft minds, soft eyes, and open hearts. It's really, Karen, just about being. That's all you have to do. I hope that helps.
It does. Thank you so much.
You're so welcome, darling.
Well, thank you for calling.
To talk to you.
Thank you. Blessings to you.
Thank you, Karen. Okay, ladies, we have, we have about 9 minutes and three calls. So we're going to try to say 3 minutes per call, and we'll get through everybody's questions. 573-808, you are on the air. Question,
comment?
How are
we doing, ladies?
Hello?
How are we, ladies?
Who's calling?
This is Julian.
Hello, Julian. Do you have a question?
Hi, Julian.
Do you have a question for one of the ladies?
It's a mixture. I'm becoming more and more aware of this, cloning that you were talking about earlier. A lot of people upon first meeting with me, they think that I'm the vampire from Twilight. I don't know if you, I'm sure you've heard of it. And I don't know, it gets really confusing for me when people automatically associate different energies with me because of my physicality or my appearance. And I guess the more it happens, the more and more I realize, how much power, or not necessarily power, but how much beauty there really is in beauty, and just in being able to express that and to share that and to hold that, because...
Well, that-
People
That's Starseed,
site. People see you in a different light, and with that, it is, it's so humbling when people can really start to realize that,
Julian, we're having some problem with your with the phone line. I don't know if it's. Are you on a cell phone?
Yeah, I am.
Okay. that's the probably. You know what? Did you have a, like, is your question, you think that you've been cloned because people think you look like someone else that isn't nice? Is that what I got from your,
well,
is that what you're saying?
I don't think that he's necessarily nicer or not nice, the character in question.
Well, character on TV, yeah, that's, I mean, but that's, I was trying, because the phone connection was so bad, I wasn't quite understanding that, but I think, you know what, this is kind of complex, so why don't you, are you a member of our forum?
Yes, I am. Yes.
Okay, why don't you write your story there on the forum and let us get back to you on email, number one, because we could answer more in depth, and number two, because this connection is so bad. So was that okay with you, Julian, if we move on and you do it like that?
If I
okay.
could.
Or maybe next week you could call in on a landline and we won't have that interference.
Okay.
Okay? Okay,
would there be
great.
Any possibility of a soul reading as well?
Yes.
We don't have time tonight, but I would
sure
be happy to give you one later.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
In fact, I'd like
okay.
to talk to you.
Yeah.
I'd like very much to talk to you.
Okay,
right.
Yeah, that'll be great, because we still have two more callers, Julian, and because of that technical problem, we didn't really get very far with your question. I'm sorry, but you can call back next week on a landline or reach us through the website. You could call and talk whatever you like to do, okay?
Okay.
Okay. Thanks
bye-bye.
A lot. Bye-bye, Julian. Okay, we only have 4 minutes now, so just real quickly, if you could just give us, like, one question or one comment, we'd appreciate your brevity. Area 479-961, you're on the air. Do you have a question ready?
Hello?
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 You're on the air.
Hello?
Do you have a question? Yes. Can you hear us?
Hello?
Hello. Yeah, we can hear you.
Hello?
We can hear you. Do you have a question?
Yes, I would like a reading.
Okay,
yes.
From Lavender, Anastasia,
Lavender.
Health.
What?
What's
from
your name?
Lavender.
Lavender?
Miss Emma.
What is your question?
Hello. I would like a reading, if that's
from.
Possible, from Lavender.
Okay. You're going to have to talk a little bit more so she can pick up on your energy.
Okay.
Where do you live?
Yes. I live in Scandinavia.
And what is your name?
Emma.
Emma?
Yes.
Okay, this is Emma in Scandinavia. You're going to have to talk a little bit more. What did you have for breakfast today?
Oatmeal porridge. Hello?
That's it? We're waiting for more. That wasn't a very big breakfast. Lavender.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Take over, Lavender.
You just need to, first of all, you need to... just start talking, and how long have you been listening to our shows? And give me, I need a voice print. I'm not getting a strong voice print from you. I'm just getting, little bits and pieces. So just start talking to me.
Yes, I've been listening to every show you've had, and it's very fascinating, interesting.
And what about the shows do you like? I mean, what's the subject matter that intrigues you the most?
Particularly the astrology related to the star markings in particular.
Yeah, okay.
Because
great.
You can see it specifically, the relations to...
Okay. So you've read Discovery of Star Markings on our website, right?
Yes.
Okay. One of the things that I'm picking up about you right now is your health, and I feel like that you've come through some kind of crisis, and I feel like that you're on the upswing, and by next March and April of next year, you're going to have a whole change of wardrobe and looks, and something is happening that's going to kind of bring you out of, I don't know whether it's depression or you've been in a place that you're not happy with, and you're changing some things. I think that by March and April of next year, we'll see a different Emma, okay?
But what should I be focusing on specifically?
You know, we're going to have to leave it on that happy note that things are on the up spiral for you. I want to thank you so much. Thank you so much, Emma. Lavendar, thank you for your information on Pleiadian lineup, which we will be continuing next week. And Anastasia, it's so wonderful to have you with us live. Belva, thank you so much for your Belvalation, and we will wish you all a wonderful up spiral Pleiadian lineup. See you next time. Bye.
Bye-bye.
You're listening to Starseed Radio Academy, empowering Starseed to better serve the planet.